It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
So, let's talk for a second about phobias.
Okay.
What's a phobia, William?
I mean, it depends on who you ask, but it's...
No, I mean, I think there is a very specific dictionary definition.
Well, there's also a clinical definition, but a phobia is when you are afraid of something. So if you have arachnophobia, you're afraid of spiders, obviously. If you...
Technically not true.
I can't think of any more.
Technically not true. You're missing a component that makes it a phobia. Because this is what people like to pull. When you give that kind of definition, they're like, oh, I have a phobia against serial killers. What it is an irrational fear.
Well, right. Like, that gets to the,
like,
that
gets otherwise, to the clinical. Otherwise, we all have a phobia of a nuclear missile striking our house. Because if that happened, that would suck. Actually, that's probably not rational either. But we all have a fear of, like, killers.
That especially gets to the clinical definition where it's got to be, you know, unusually distressing or dysfunctional, like you can't go to work or whatever because of it, or other people are disturbed by it to a significant degree. If it just makes you eccentric or something, that's not that's not good enough.
It's not a clinical phobia, but I get comfortable with the I have an irrational fear or something.
Yeah, yeah. And also, that's true. And also, another thing is if let's say it's a culture, it's a part of your culture for people to have a particular superstition about a certain thing, while someone outside that culture might think that's irrational, it's a cultural, you know what I mean? That's also given a pass because it's a cultural aspect of. Well,
I think in general, the concept of rationality in that sense has to be filtered through whatever culture.
Multicultural lens. That's exactly right.
Yes. So I've got a variety of phobias. Nothing severe enough that it like messes up my life, but I have some. And one that throws people a little bit is I have a fear of falling down.
An irrational one, you're saying.
That's the thing. Because I tell people, I'm like, I have a fear of falling down. I'm like, everybody that has, like, nobody's like, oh, no, I love falling over. No. But specifically, I think, like, slipping and falling to the degree that in the winter, if I'm walking, like, from a building to my car or whatever, unless the ground is, like, dry, I walk a little tiny step, and I my heart rate goes up. I freak out.
Okay, I see.
And I feel bad about that. A lot, but then I'm like, every once in a while something happens that makes me think, no, I'm pretty okay with that. And the thing that happens is I fucking fall down and it fucking sucks.
Yes.
And that's what happened today.
Oh no, you did?
I fell down in the street.
Because of ice?
Yep.
Wow.
Because of various frozen water related issues. Yeah.
I mean, because
of the stuff.
Are you okay?
I mean, I am. I didn't go to the doctor or anything, but I'm not. I got stuff. So I was going, I dropped Trish off at work and I go home and I've got three different trash cans out by the curb. The compost and the recycle and the regular trash. And the recycle and the regular trash, their timing is very hinky. I have had days where it can be afternoon before they pick those up. So sometimes I don't touch them until it's later in the day, or sometimes I'll just check or whatever. But compost happens way fucking early. So I get home and I'm like, I'll save myself some trouble because I can't do it all in one trip. So I'm like, I'll do the compost now and then I'll have to do it later. And I go down there and I slipped And I did what in ballroom culture or voguing would be called a dead drop. It probably looked pretty awesome, which is basically where you fall backwards onto your leg. And so one leg is essentially tucked up underneath you.
Oh, sounds
However, cool. I am not built for this. So it hurt very much. And it's one of those things. And this is the thing I hate. But when you fall in a position that is painfully untenable, because what happens is you immediately have to fling yourself to the ground in another position, which also hurts.
Oh, yeah.
So like my leg was bent bad. So I just had to go and just sort of throw myself onto my front. And then I got a bunch of crap here and all this. And it was bad, because when that happens to me, because this is, I have an irrational fear. I also fall down a fair bit. I mean, like two, three times a year, which to me is a lot. And they all suck. And what happens first every time is I just lie there for a second and like get my breath. Cause it's also freaky. Like, yeah, my heart's going, right. And everything. Like, but there's two problems with that. Right now, the ground is literally frozen, so that doesn't last very long. And also, people are fucking going to work on my street, and I'm like, they're gonna freak out if I'm just lying on the ground. And so I'm in pain. It sucks. I don't want to move, but I'm like, people are gonna. So I get up, and I get to my knees, and I take the time to put my gloves on, because I'm like, this will help me not slip. And a car pulled up, sure enough, and the window rolled down on my side. She's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine, thank you. And she's like, do you need help? I'm like, no, I'll get up. But she was worried enough that she stuck around until I was on my feet again. And I was like, thank you very much. I realized later I never actually looked at her, so I don't even know what she looked like. But I was like, I appreciate your concern. I hoped I sounded sincere. I said a lot of things that I think some people say sarcastically, but I genuinely was like, it's very kind of you to wait for that, but I didn't need help. And yeah, now I got Owie there. I got a little bit of bruising happening over here. Mostly one knee has a bunch of bruises on it and stuff, and that ankle is kind of fucked. If I rotate it now, it's still sort of a sharp pain, but it's a dull pain most of the rest of the time. And I'm hoping by tomorrow it'll be a little bit better. But yeah, it was not fun. Like, I went down hard.
Well, you started here.
And every time I'm like, yeah, there is nothing irrational about being scared of this, because this sucks. And it was bad enough that eventually later in the morning, I was like texting Trish. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go take a shower. I will text you when I am out of the shower. If you do not hear back in approximately 45 minutes, you should call someone to check on me. Because I didn't know, because when I was walking on it, every once in a while, I'd walk on my ankle weird and just shoot up pain. And it stopped now. And again, like, if I don't do this move, it's fine. And so I was worried. I was like, I just turned slightly wrong in the shower and it does that and I fall over. But it was fine. So
Okay. Mostly
I didn't have any sort of opening bit today, and then I fell down and I'm like, well, that's a story. So there it was. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world with a phobia about falling down. The podcast has one. It's coincidence. I have one. The podcast also has one.
Yeah.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 565.
565. That's a lot of episodes. Eventually, we might actually get noticed through our tenacity. It does happen. Every once in a while, a TV show or a famous podcast or whatever will talk about like a YouTube channel or something, just because they're like, it's really dumb and pointless, and they have 1,000 videos, and it's just weird. And I realized recently, I'm like, we might get there. We might be like the one where people are like, I don't understand why they're doing this, but they keep doing it. And that's kind of weirdly interesting. So that's what I'm hoping for now. For those of you just joining us, tell us what TV show or podcast or blog you got here from because of our tenacity. Also, here's the show. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And then people who need podcasts, write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with whatever the fuck they want at this point, really. And then the hat, if it so deigns, forwards that on to us, and we read it here and we talk about it. What are you, you've really got a 1,000-yard stare going on. What is happening? Are you contemplating your mortality again during the podcast? I've told you, this is not the time for it. You do that on your other podcasts. Not here. Oh, see, now I want to do a podcast that's just contemplating your mortality, where we just sit around and be like, fuck. Like, I'm already past the halfway point, right? Like, I probably don't have as many. Oh, my God. And we're all going to do it. I mean, it's going to happen, right? Like, jeez.
What? You think we can have 565 podcasts based on that?
I mean, I think they'd be a little repetitive. But I think I could do it.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, let me type up a script. They won't be long and they'll be very similar, but yeah, sure. I can do a podcast about anything. I got a podcast about a goddamn hat with an email address. I can do a podcast about anything.
Yeah, I believe that's true.
As long as quality is not remotely an issue, I can do it. Stay tuned for my latest new podcast, Tony's Butt.
Yeah, I won't be tuning into that.
Oh, no, that has to be only people who are knowledgeable about my butt. And that's a longer list than I'd like to think, but it's not a very long list. And you're definitely not on it.
Nope.
Yet.
Not on it.
So, how has your week been? Other than the fact that you have failed me by not watching Eternals last night.
I was really tempted to watch it too, but I mean,
I totally forgot about it. I was talking to my sister on the phone and I was like, out of nowhere, I was suddenly like, holy shit, I know what we're doing for date night. She's like, what? I said, I know what we're going to do because I forgot Eternals drops today. And she's like, holy shit, I know what Eric and I are doing tonight. A bunch of us did, I think.
I had to read it. So in my, the outfit that I'm doing online graduate school through, all of the classes.
The outfit?
Yeah.
Oh my God, are you going to a mafia school? Is your school run by the mafia?
You know, it's kind of funny because it used to be a joke. And, you know, and you see this in old movies still all the time. Where'd you get your degree at correspondence school? Yep. Anyway, all of these classes have, each class is set up in a similar way so that you pretty much have something due every Thursday. And up until today, every class I've taken, I've had things turned in like the day before, it was usually done a week before, and I could take a couple shots at the drafts and whatever. Today is the first time a Thursday has come where, when Thursday started, didn't have the stuff even started.
Too much binge drinking this week?
I mean, I had, Monday was shot because I had a doctor's appointment and I had another sort of business oriented appointment. And then both Tuesday and Wednesday had things, shut up. Both Tuesday and Wednesday had things happening that I didn't expect. So last night I had to do some work so that when today came and I was just starting these assignments, I would be able to start, and have plenty of time. So I have been able to get one class squared away already this morning. The other class, the thing that's due, still haven't started it. It's not due until, midnight or whatever. I will get it done, but it won't be a thing that I'm done with several days ahead of time and I can store it away and then bring it out later and take another shot at the draft kind of thing. It'll be like the first draft. I'm turning it in.
Yes. So in other words, it'll be like most people in graduate school.
I guess.
Sorry. It'll be like literally everyone in graduate school except you.
Except me. But this is the first time also, that's happened.
But there is an issue of prioritizing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pause the podcast for 2 hours and 37 minutes. Because that's how fucking long it was. So you can watch Eternals.
No. So I've been working on that all day and I'll be working on that tonight. So I don't even know if I'll watch it tonight.
Oh, I actually don't give a shit till next Thursday. So whatever.
Okay. But
yeah, so what have you been doing? You haven't been doing your homework. Mm-hmm. You got, I mean, I got to be honest, a business meeting does not help the, I'm not associated with the mafia cause here. What have you been doing with your week?
So there's a counseling firm that wants me to work for them, like as soon as I can start.
Is it Covenant Family Solutions? Are you going to be my new therapist?
No. You know, start as a supervised therapist, you know, a student therapist or whatever. And it's, so they're talking to me about that, and there's all kinds of things that would have to be arranged for it to work. I don't know if it's even actually going to happen. And also in April, I have to go, I think, to Phoenix for a week for school. So that's something I've got
to. That's highly suspicious because no one ever has to go to Phoenix.
I have to for a week. I think it's just a week. I mean, it could be longer. But they call it a residency. I think that's a little bit. I think that's kind of stretching the.
You think
a little bit
for yeah. a week,
yeah. right? But
maybe you'll stay in a residence inn, and then it'll technically count.
Yeah, I think it's for a week, and that's one of two that's going to happen while I'm going to school. This is in April, and then the next one will be, I think, sometime in the next calendar year. I think, but it could yet be this year still, like in September or something.
Those week-long residencies sneak up on you.
Which, now that I think about it, I better check when it is exactly, because I've got I've got doctor's appointments scheduled for September. So I might have to, I don't know. Anyway, I'm not actually very good at things like this, you know, appointments and having to meet people for extended, you know, like 2 or 3 hour meetings. And then usually it's
I know.
Do this before the next meeting, you know, do some research on office space and stuff. I'm just not good at it. It really disrupts my life because I'll get involved in that task, and it probably takes me longer than it takes most people. And then if I find a place to stop, it's like, okay, now what do I do? Oh, I can do some homework. Well, which homework? You know, and I just get totally disoriented. If I don't get up first thing in the morning and start working on schoolwork, if I'm distracted by some other thing that day, a meeting or anything else, it's harder for me to start in the afternoon or evening because for whatever reason, my brain just doesn't work organizationally as well as in the morning.
I think there's a common thing with that, not specifically the morning, but I think a lot of people have certain types of day that if they try and be productive, then it tends to be more or less successful than other types of day.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've heard of that.
I always say I have a night owl's brain trapped in a morning person's body because I hate getting up early and working early. But I also am really good at it. Mm. Like, there were jobs where I had to wake up at like 4 and get to work and be like working shortly after that. And I hated it, but I was very energetic and I got a lot of shit done and that kind of
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Afternoons are often sort of, and my sister apparently, she said the same thing. She said afternoons tend to be a dip in her productivity in general.
But what's interesting is, It's not just a dip in my productivity once I've worked all morning. If something makes it so I can't get any work done in the morning, I'm still not productive.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Matter. There's something magic about a particular time of day.
It's not
how much you've gotten done.
Yeah, because right.
I'll be honest, even though that's the way that works best, what usually happens is I don't get shit done until like after lunch. And then I'm like, fuck, I got to do everything now. And I do it. But it's way less effective than if I did everything in the morning. Like, it takes longer and it's more difficult.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. I totally relate to what you're saying.
And some people are the opposite. Some people waiting until the afternoon, that's when they can really dig it. Like, they need the morning to sort of wake up and get their head on straight. And then the afternoon, they can really.
Oh,
I don't know any of those people, but I'm sure they exist.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my, so I've had a lot of things happening in the mornings that sort of took my morning away, but it, that ended up taking my whole day away because yep. when the afternoon came, I was like, why can't I figure out what to do? Why is this so hard? In the morning, it's so easy to go, okay, I'm going to do this, and I go. But in the afternoon, I'm like, how do I even start?
And also, and by the morning, you probably haven't had as many cocktails as you have by the afternoon. So that's kind of easy to do.
Yeah, I just don't. It's just really weird. And I, so my Monday and Tuesday got sort of destroyed because of things mostly happening in the mornings. A few things were in the afternoon, though, now that I think about it.
But then there was Wednesday. What about your weekend? There's more to the week than just the last 3 days.
That's it. Well, usually, and I was going to get work.
No, done always. Every time a week is a full 7 days.
No, I was going to do, I was actually going to do things on the weekend. But so this past weekend, I don't know, like something, I could tell Abby wanted me to not do that. She wouldn't mind it. If I said, no, I'm going to work this weekend, she would have let me and everything. But I just got this strong impression like, no, that's, she really needs to sort of spend time with me this weekend. She's, you know, it's going to be neglectful if I do that. So I said, you know what, forget it. You know, I knew Monday was going to be a bust. So that's why I was going to do work on the weekend, but I just decided, no, I'm going to spend quality time with my wife. And so that's just what I did over the weekend. And we didn't really watch any movies or do anything. We just sort of hung out and it was nice. And I knew Monday was going to be a bust, so I didn't really worry about not getting schoolwork done that day. Tuesday was I thought, was when I was really going to get started and I was going to have everything ready long before Thursday still. But then what happened on, I don't remember what happened on Tuesday. Wednesday, someone dropped by a gift. Mick got Abby a gift. And this woman is someone who is connected with the firm that's going to hire me. And I think she's going to work for them too. So when she came over and dropped the gift off, we talked shop for about two hours while she was here, which was good.
Yeah, that's nice.
And positive and even productive in a way, but it didn't get any schoolwork done, you know? So
all right. You did eventually give me what I think is a fairly full answer of how your week was. You did seem to, for some reason, try to approach it as though I didn't ask you how was your week, but I asked you, how's your schoolwork going? Because you're like, I didn't do anything, just all of this stuff. But none of that was schoolwork, so I didn't really do anything. Like, you did a bunch of things.
Yeah.
Just a lot of them weren't schoolwork.
You're right.
Or watching Eternals, which you should feel bad for, but
I didn't watch very, very much of anything because I was either doing schoolwork or I was supposed to be doing schoolwork and not doing it, which you're right. Psychologically to me, that means.
Yeah. You were probably doing something else. Sir. It'd be hilarious. Yeah. If you're like, I should
just sitting
should,
there.
I really should.
I don't remember what happened on Tuesday at all. I mean, I must have gotten some things done that day, but I don't remember. I'll remember afterwards. It's just because I'm talking to you and at the podcast and everything. I just don't remember. What about you?
It's mafia stuff.
How was your week?
Mafia. It was fine. I got.
What would the mafia do with me? What would the mafia even do with me? What could I do for them?
You're the one people would least suspect of, like, literally everything. So
I guess I could do
anytime
books.
They want something to happen. They're like, no one will suspect William.
I could do their especially books, probably.
If they want you to do schoolwork, they'd be like, nobody will suspect. For the record, I got no schoolwork done this week.
Okay, good. What else did you do?
I did get some housework done. I am working on that.
Nice.
I also learned, I talked before about eating the weird spicy ramen. Yeah. That like is really spicy. I had it for lunch. Actually, I kind of had it for breakfast today. I ate it at lunchtime, but it was technically the first food I had. But I learned because it says keep 8 tablespoons of water when you like drain the stuff out of it. And I learned the importance of that, because when you don't do that, there's no broth. And when there's no broth, it just means that all of the spice is concentrated into the noodles itself. And woo!
Yeah, that'd be awful.
Hot, still tasty. Awful. No, it's still super tasty though. I'm getting housework done again because I've had so many things keeping me from it. I've been sick and the holidays and all that. So this week is a very much a rebuilding week, and that's good. In fact, currently in the oven is my should now be freshly cured Himalayan salt tray that I got for Christmas.
Oh yeah.
Because you have to cure it, which involves putting it on a cookie sheet and putting it in a cold oven and setting the oven. Get this. I did not remember this, but I looked it up at the time, to 180 degrees Fahrenheit. Strangely, my oven doesn't have a setting for 180 degrees. It has one for 175, has one for 200, doesn't have one for 180, because nothing in the history of the world has ever been cooked at 180 degrees. But you have to put it in a cold oven on a cookie sheet, close the door, turn the oven to 180 degrees, and then do that for an hour, and then turn off the oven, keep the door closed. Because apparently if I open the door and cold air gets in, it could crack. So yeah, it's in there. It'll probably be cold by the time we're done with this. But yes, I've been working on that. What were we watching? We finished something we were watching. Oh, we finished Hawkeye.
Oh, okay.
It's fine. I don't care. I didn't care about anything that happened in Hawkeye. And I don't know why precisely. Like, I couldn't tell you I didn't care because X. I just didn't care. Also, and I adore her, but it is one of the most phoned in Vera Farmiga performances I've seen in my life.
No kidding. I agree.
I also wasn't super impressed with D'Onofrio's, but D'Onofrio's was clearly a character from another show brought in, and I think you were expected to have all of that in your head already. And apparently he did really well in there's a little spoiler here, so I don't want to, but well, I said Vincent D'Onofrio. Yeah. Kingpin shows up in Hawkeye, and it's Vincent D'Onofrio who played Kingpin in the Netflix Daredevil show. And apparently he was really amazing in the Netflix Daredevil show. To me, in this, he was a generic villain I have seen him play many times. And again, love Vincent D'Onofrio, but to me, he was basically his character from Emerald City. Like, I wasn't that interested. Also, weird that they're doing a spinoff show from this of a character who, while was on screen a lot, had no personality to speak of. So I'm like, I have no idea if a show would be good with that person, because they did not give them any personality. So that was a shame. People were really into a couple of characters' chemistry that I won't go into because it's late in the series. I wasn't as much, but it's kind of cute. I felt Hawkeye and little girl Hawkeye did not have chemistry. And that was a problem for me. I like both of those actors, but they did not gel as a duo to me. But mostly I didn't care. Again, there's blip stuff. I don't give a shit about blip and what happened because of the blip and how people feel after the blip. I don't care. But it was interesting. I did learn one thing from it, which I already knew, but I didn't put it together. The blip happened in 2018. The blip lasted 5 years. So after Infinity War, starting an Endgame, every single thing you've seen in the MCU takes place at least in 2023, if not later. So the MCU is officially out of sync with us, or we're out of sync with it. At this point, it's hard to tell which is which. But yeah, so everything you see post blip is 2023 or later, which is weird. So yeah, we finished that. We are in the middle of season two of Ted Lasso. Loving that. We aren't watching too much else, I don't think. I watch a lot of YouTube. But we did watch The Eternals last night because it is now, as of yesterday, on regular Disney Plus. So anybody with Disney Plus can see it. It is 2 hours and 37 minutes long. I won't say too much about it for a variety of reasons. Well, actually, I guess two reasons. One, don't want to spoil it. Two, you haven't seen it, so it would be weird to talk about it with you. But here's what I'm going to say, and this is the big thing. I've heard people who liked it. Well, I don't know. There's a lot of people, including me, that have a lot of complaints, but at the end of those complaints say they kind of enjoyed it. I think on paper, it's a fucking mess. That being said, I can't base it on past experiences, but because, you know, the MCU has evolved and my feelings about the MCU have evolved. But if today I sat down and watched every MCU movie over again, this would probably be one of my top ones.
Oh,
probably in the top five or so.
Okay.
And I'm not sure why. I just kind of enjoyed it. There's a lot wrong with it. And it's long as shit. And actually, here's the big thing. And if you ever watch the pitch meeting, they pushed on this really hard. What it really is a heartbreaker, because it should have fucking been a series. It is a stupid amount of characters, plot lines, and ideas, and brand new concepts to the MCU shoved into one movie. It's ridiculous. And it does not work well with that. I think what did it, there are a couple of performances in this that I really enjoyed. One was Kumail Nanjiani, and not just because I love Kumail Nanjiani, but because honestly, as much as I love Kumail Nanjiani, this is the second character I've ever seen him play, because literally every other thing I've seen him in, he's played the same guy. And in this, he's still Kumail. It's like Alan Alda. He's always Kumail. But this character had a different perspective and a different vibe than the character from The Big Sick and the character from Stuber and the character when he's guest starred on a bunch of different shows. So that was cool to see him do something. And he was good. Like, I think he's got some good acting chops there. Also, there's a guy in it who, if you're racist like me, you will be really disturbed by how much it looks like it's Benedict Wong, who plays the other sorcerer in the Doctor Strange stuff. What's his name? Librarian Wu or something? I don't remember now. But this guy looks like him, like really a lot like him. It's not him. Different nationality and everything. But he's the guy who plays Gilgamesh, and I'd never encountered him before, and I liked him. And this is weird, but I am fatigued with Angelina Jolie. I am not particularly interested in seeing Angelina Jolie in more stuff right now. She's a perfectly good actor, although to be honest, at this point, she's a movie star. So she kind of just does the same thing in every movie, and it's fine because it's a leading role, neutral mask, all that jazz. But I'm over it. I think she was perfectly cast for the role she has in this. It was simultaneously something that I think a lot of other actors would not have done nearly as well. And while it is a major character, it is not the focus of the film. She's not the lead. And so I was very pleased with that. Outside of that, there is some crazy ass shit happening. The Eternals is a really twitchy property, and it ties very tightly with the Celestials, which is also a really twitchy property. So I think it was stacked against them in some ways, but I had fun with it. I also think I'm a sucker for an ensemble thing. Like, we definitely have two primary characters in this, and they are some of my least favorite characters, but there's just a lot of people and I really like to the same way that I think I like the Avengers movies more in most cases than the individual movies of the Avengers. It was fun though, because while I feel like in some ways they sort of stuck with the spirit of the property they were using here, man, did they fuck with it. I looked it up like the other night or last night because I couldn't sleep. Because I knew some of this stuff, but not all. And I'm like, wow, yeah, they changed a lot of shit. But yeah, in general, I enjoyed it. It's got some mess in it, but I don't know. I really had a fun time with it. So check that out, people. I feel like my week should have had more in it, but I can't remember it. So I told you I fell down.
Yeah.
I told you about Eternals. I told you about Spicy Ramen. In retrospect, those all sound really boring. I didn't tell you about any schoolwork. All right, let's do some questions.
I mostly would talked about that because you were asking why I was sort of staring off into space. It's because I'm kind of in a daze after all. Working really late from last all night.
Oh, I was going to say, from all the schoolwork you're not doing, you're in a daze? No,
I did so much. I did do a lot yesterday, like 12 or 13 hours worth. And then I got up early this morning to do all the stuff I've done already today. So I'm kind of.
Holy shit. I'm never going back to school. That's insane.
The subject matter and my fellow students make it kind of fun, all of it. But the work is sometimes tedious and sometimes downright stupid. Like some of the assignments are like, really? Yeah, you think this is an assignment that's going to teach me something or demonstrate my learning? I don't know about that. But that's a problem with the whole online thing, right? I mean, you just can't.
And with the whole class thing, you and I have had offline discussions. Well, I shouldn't say offline. They're usually still Zoom. But you and I have had discussions that what you need to be taught in these classes is not necessarily the same thing as what the person seated next to you needs to be taught, and vice versa. So,
you've made that point to me several times, and you're absolutely right. I mean, you've told me this, and it's been very good advice, it turns out, to always remember that this material, pretty much none of it's made for me.
yeah.
Right. Also sort of figuring out who it is made for, which is, people in their 20s who have just finished their bachelor's degrees or whatever. And realizing that, but also realizing that, you know, it's true. I mean, I've been trained in instruction. I definitely would teach today's 20 somethings different than I would teach people who are in their 50s.
And it's not even that degree. You're super weird. as am I. So yeah. Most stuff that is made for the average individual, not made for us.
Yeah, but that's true too.
We're also not fucking super beings. We are weird in that we have strengths in certain areas that most people don't, and weaknesses in other areas that most people don't. So you have to watch out for the things that they're considering barely worth mentioning. That's probably the shit that you need to know.
Yeah, exactly. You are completely right about that. I'm just saying that's frustrating for me because, I mean, that means that I need, like you're just pointing out, that means I need to really think about my own instruction, right? Like,
yes.
They're not going to teach me this, even though I need this taught to me.
Yeah.
So I have to notice and then kind of do that extra work.
Which is why you're better off than me, because you are very self-motivated when it comes to learning.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, well, the fact that you spend, I'm going to say a ridiculous amount of time pondering why they're teaching you things that you don't need to know proves it right there. Because if I was in your situation, I'd be like, sweet, this is going to be way easy. That's going to be awesome. And you're like, maybe I don't understand. Am I supposed to be getting more out of, like, you spend a lot of time on that. So right there shows you're self-motivated. You want to do that. Yes. It is funny. So in my therapy, I'm drilling down a lot more into some individual relationships. and how they are operating and problems I'm having. And some of them are problems that I have in general with relationships or whatever. And there are two exceptions that come up periodically that only hardly ever get mentioned because of this fact, because they are exceptions. And that's my wife and that's you. And it's mostly just because I'm like, yeah, this is a thing I need to do, except William, because William's weird. I'm like, William is wholly unique, and consequently our relationship is wholly unique. So any general life lessons or shortcomings I have don't apply there, because my relationship with William bears no resemblance to my relationship with anyone else. In Trish's case, it's just coincidental that we're in a very stable place in our marriage right now. We could have plenty of problems, but we just don't have to. So, but it's really funny, because I think something recently where I was like, I don't really have male friends anymore. I'm like, except William. But William doesn't count, because William's William. Like, that's not, when I have had male friends in the past, this is not what it was like. I'm like, no, this is, yeah.
But I mean, I think William, the same William thing about you. I think,
yeah, I'm weird as shit too.
Yeah, I've never known anybody like you, and I've never had a friendship like the one I have with you. So it's the same thing.
But it is, it well, and back in the day, because we haven't always had a stable relationship, at least on my side, this thing was a liability rather than an asset. Because it's like, none of the lessons I have learned in other relationships apply here, because it's just so unique. And now it's an asset, because I'm like, none of the problems I'm having in other relationships because of me apply here, because this is a whole unique situation. So it does work out eventually.
Sure.
No, I was talking with Trish. I also think you and I have taken what I think is the common path people take as they get closer to each other. As you become closer and more intimate and know each other well, you develop tools and address issues of how you communicate and how you interact. And you slowly build a structure based around time and experience of how the relationship works. My wife, also similar, because when we started dating, we had a lot of issues. And over the course of decades, we've gotten closer and closer, and we've addressed this issue and then this issue, and you build on itself. I'm in a situation now where I am finding there are some people who I have known for many, many years, and I have been very close to, and there are deep-seated problems within the relationship. And I'm like, well, shit, because we already built our scaffolding of solutions of how we interact. So you're telling me it's wrong. I don't know how to fix it now, because we're already very close. Like, how do you like tear down the relationship and rebuild it? You kind of can't. So it's trying to fix structural issues in a building after the building is built and you're in the building.
Yeah, right. That's interesting.
So that's being a little bit crazy, but yeah, no, with Trish, I think a lot of the reason I'm not having issues is Trish and I built it slowly over time, and you know, we didn't tackle anything too weird or crazy until we got to know each other. So, and same with you and I.
Yeah.
But now I got people I'm really close to that I'm like, there's something fundamentally not working right here, but I don't want to end the relationship. So we're going to have to get creative. And of course, the whole thing that I say, the relationship, it's my side of the relationship. I don't know what their side is. And also, it's not my business to try and fix their side or whatever is mine. But
sure.
I got way off topic. My point is, you're very strange. All right. Let's do a question. We're getting more questions. I am appreciating it. At the rate we're going through them, we can still always use more. So please write in themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Whatever you want. It can be dumb, it can be serious, it can be silly, it doesn't have to be a question. You can just say things. You do have to be prepared that you will receive probably honest criticism from us, and also I will take every attempt to make fun of your position, even if it's one I agree with. So prepare for that. But you can do that. You do whatever. All right, here we go. This one is from Azure Talon. The title of this one, I don't always read the subject titles, but he put a lot of work into the alliteration here. So, probably praise the podcast purview. Actually, in retrospect, that was a terrible subject, because I don't know how it ties in. He got excited. Whatever. it happens. You know, we can just cuddle. So how do you guys handle seeing insanity from a family member? God damn it, Azure Talent. I really hope you very specifically meant that word clinically, because that's how William's going to fucking address it. If you just met my relatives are so crazy, you done fucked up. Because William's going to talk about if your person has very specific DSM recorded things. So I hope that's what you wanted. That's what you're going to get. So how do you guys handle seeing insanity from a family member or meeting someone who seems pleasant enough until you see one of those effing red hats in their office? I love that, because I know he means the key, Make America Great Again hat, but in my head, it's the little old ladies and the Red Hat Society, and you're like, oh shit, they're in the Red Hat Society. Fuck them. I love that idea. I'm so angry at anti-vax Trump cultists anymore. I mean, you're clearly angry because that syntax doesn't work. And I just don't know what to do with it anymore. I like this question. This is good. All right. I don't know that it's going to help, but William, I don't think he means insanity in the clinical sense.
Okay.
The bit here is you're now supposed to say, but in case he does. And no, this is my life. The real way to do it is to get laid off from your job and don't get another job, so you spend most of your time by yourself and the rest of the time is with a small circle of friends who all have the same general political views you do, then you're fine. That's what I've been doing. I'm not fine, so I don't know why I say that. No, but this is the thing I struggle with. I still don't understand this. I have friends whose one of their grandparents recently died. One of these friends was supposed to be a pallbearer at the funeral for this grandparent. The friend in question asked the person who was telling them all, you know, somebody has to call you and tell you a family member died. That's how it always works. Asked that person about the general vaccination status of the family as a whole for the funeral. Their family was so incensed by this that not only are they no longer a pallbearer, they got disinvited to Christmas. The family Christmas. Which is a whole other kettle of fish. Trish and I get the whole disinviting thing is just insane. And not a real thing, but it's awful. And I am sitting here going, like, the fact that the whole general family, including, I think, their immediate family, is like this, to me is like, cool. I guess I don't need that family anymore. And I've always said, like, if it turned out my mom, my sister, my brother, whatever, were big Trump supporters or whatever, in my head, I pretty much would just get rid of them. I wouldn't have them in my life. But I have the luxury that I've never had that belief tested, ever. So I don't understand it. But fun fact, this story I just told you, that I'm leaving out all identity, came through via a text while I was at gaming. And it my phone was blowing up enough that I had to check, and it was interesting enough that I read it to my gaming group. And then we discussed it some, including my opinions on what these friends should do, but the realization that it wasn't my decision and I don't have their perspective. So it was just in my head, what the same thing I talked about here, which, like, in my head, you just sort of disown the family. But, and then later I looked at my phone and I magically had managed to hit record and record audio right as we, like, were started talking about the text, record for 13 minutes without me realizing it, and text the audio file to these friends.
Just by accident?
By accident!
Jeez Louise.
I looked at my phone and I'm like, Why am I sending an audio file that's 13 minutes long? What the hell is this? I must have accidentally read it. And then it was sent and it was too late. And I was like, well, what was the file? And I'm hearing it and it's me going, yeah, if it was me, I would have. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Oh my gosh.
Right? Like, that's a story. If that was in a movie, I would be like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, I would too.
Right? Right?
There's no way that would happen.
The good news, I did immediately say, like, I accidentally just recorded 13 minutes of audio for no reason. I didn't tell them, like, this is a part where I'm judging you. So my suspicion is that they didn't bother listening. And honestly, I also didn't say anything that's bad. Like, it's not anything that I would pretend wasn't true. It's just, like, opinions that I don't think they are useful to them. So it's just not something I would. So I'm like, if they did listen, I think it's still fine. But I was like, how does this happen? I have accidentally recorded audio before, not for very long, and never accidentally fucking texted the file. Same. But without going into details, mostly because I don't know them, you deal with this some. You definitely have people close to you who have opinions that I would say you are probably strongly opposed to, and maybe even go so far as to say can occasionally be frustrated by. Are you debating how much you're going to say, or are you trying to figure out what the fuck I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't know what to say.
Okay, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure you got what you know what I'm talking about.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Which is fine. And your privacy is fine. What I'm saying is I feel like you have more firsthand experience. So if you've got any thoughts on it.
I mean, I have firsthand experience. I'm just going to say this.
William's wife is a big Trump supporter. We're sorry. Oh. We had to tell you now. She wears the hats all the time. It's
crazy. I have firsthand experience of this for me on what could be regarded as both sides of the equation. In other words, you know, Azure Talon is just talking about Trump supporters. You know, I have had this issue with people who would identify as from the left, who say things that I think are outrageous or factually wrong or whatever. And to me, oh God, I know what people hate it when I say this, but to me, the effect is the same. I mean, I know people think, well, there's no equivalence here or moral equivalence or whatever. And I'm not saying there's a moral equivalence. I'm saying that for me, it's all people saying things that are factually untrue or exaggerations or, you know, like you were saying, people disinviting people from things.
Yeah,
I've heard of that happening on both sides, and
I would agree. I want to do the caveat here: the amateur armchair opinions of individuals are equally damaging on both sides. I will agree. I will not go so far as to say if, for example, the governmental policies discussed by these people on both extreme sides were put into practice, they would be equally damaging.
But well, I wouldn't.
The general attitude and lack of fact checking and things like that, it sort of doesn't matter which side you're talking about. It's damaging.
And that's where I'm coming. I'm not talking about policy.
Even though I agree with more of their things, CNN is just as shitty as Fox News.
Yeah, I'm not I have
more opinions that agree with them, but they're still just as shitty.
Yeah, I'm not talking about policies. People can have any opinion about policy they want, as far as I'm concerned. I'm talking, in fact, I mean, except some things, some policies are right or really out there and crazy, but I almost don't even regard those as serious policies, right? There's like things that people talk about that are reasonable and I can agree with it or disagree with it, and other people can agree with or disagree, that's fine. And then there's this whole other realm of things. Well, anyway, but it all affects me the same because I don't, I don't know.
Have opinions.
My political views are not really, I don't know how to talk about this in a way where I feel like I will be understood or, you know, not taken in a way that's unfair and inaccurate towards me, because it seems like we live in an environment where you're going to be put in a box no matter what you say. And I don't, for example, I was just about to say, I don't think I belong in any of these boxes, but I've heard people say that kind of thing before. And that just draws criticism, like either you are and you're in denial about it, or you're not because you're a fence sitter, or, you know, all of these other things that don't have anything to do with me and my view of things. Yes.
Well, in my experience, not including you, as I need to specify again, just in case, because I think you might be the one exception I've encountered. Outside of you, 100% of the people in my life who like to start with, I don't really believe in the left or the right. Usually, actually, not only do I find some problematic things in how they express that view, but also usually they're full of shit. Usually they are pretty heavily on one side or the other.
Yeah, well.
And in fact, usually it's more one side than the other. But again, I don't want to go to that, so I'm not going to name names or anything. But let's abstract it more. Let's abstract it way more. You have people you are close to who hold, I guess, let's say strongly to opinions, worldviews, attitudes that you're like, that's fucked up and like damaging. And like, it bothers me to hear you say it, let alone see the impact you have going out into the world with that. Is this a fair assessment?
Most, can I explain what it is, but it's usually a specific kind of thing they're expressing. And it's mostly
I think we should avoid specificity, but if it's very important here that it only comes up in this circumstance, I guess so.
No, I mean, because the commonality, the thing that ties what this side says versus, and all everyone in between, the thing that's common that upsets me, because there aren't very many opinions. Well, that's not true. It has to do with most of the thing that bothers me, what people say, whether it's an issue of policy or if an issue of personal belief or whatever, what bothers me about it is how it objectifies and marginalizes and vilifies a particular group of people. It dehumanizes them.
Yes.
That's usually what it takes. Someone has to say something that moves into that territory, and that makes me uncomfortable. And not only that, but if I feel like what the person has expressed, if I express some of my personal views, I might be one of those people that they think is disqualified from humanity. Yeah. I might be, because my views don't conform to what they're saying or what they believe.
Yes.
See what I mean?
I understand, and I 100% agree. I also think it is entirely irrelevant for the question I'm trying to ask.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Because I don't want to get into the specifics. What bothers you isn't what I'm asking at all. Something does severely from a person that is close to you. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be that you're mad because you want to abolish the income tax and they don't. Like, that could be, but the point is, it is something that really disconcerts you and bothers you, regardless of where on the spectrum or even related to that. Maybe you know somebody who's a real hardcore flat earther. I don't know that I think that has a particular place on the political spectrum. That's just nuts. My point is, in that circumstance, how do you deal with them/it? I mean, assuming you have these people in your life and they continue to be in your life, how have you adjusted in order to make that work? Or have you just been like, got to hold my breath till they're gone?
Well, I mean, part of the reason I specified was because it has an impact on how I deal with it, because I don't. because in the end, I don't really know what's going on with them. I don't really know what's going on in their head. For example, I don't really know if I was honest with this person about how I feel about things, if they would hate me. I don't know that.
Of course.
I don't even really know if the thing they just said was just blowing off steam or if it actually reflects something they deeply believe.
Agreed.
But I'm also afraid to ask, right? I'm also afraid to talk to them about it and engage.
Yes.
And you know me, if I don't have enough information, if I don't feel like I've got enough information on a thing, I don't do anything about it, right? I just let it sit. I let it lie. So that's what I end up doing. When I encounter something like what you're talking about, because of how it emerges, I find myself in a state of uncertainty about what's really going on. I don't arrive at a conclusion like Azure Talent does, that they're insane, clinically or otherwise. I just accept that I don't fully understand this situation and I don't really know how to handle it. And I sort of do nothing and hope it sort of passes and I don't have to deal with it, which I don't like that. That's not actually the way I usually like to operate. I want to face things head on kind of person, but I just don't feel like I've got all the information I need to do that. And so I freeze up, I guess, you could say, and I just don't do anything. And eventually the moment does pass. And next time I encounter that person, we're able to have a conversation about something else and it's perfectly fine and everything's
so okay. This has never altered your relationships or how you approach your relationships.
Not so far. Well, it has altered how I approach my relationships because as I said a second ago, I usually am very straightforward about stuff. Like, someone says something that I don't agree with or that, especially if I have a real big problem with it, I'll say so. And I want them to do the same to me. But in these circumstances, I start to think, well, I should say this, but then I realize, but wait a minute, maybe that's not what's going on here.
But it is specific to the context, right? Like if somebody's saying something that you have this issue with, you just don't say anything about that issue. It doesn't mean that the next time you're hanging out, you avoid telling them how you feel about everything because you know that they might.
Right.
So you really managed to isolate essentially the conversation.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I think that is awesome.
Later, I might be able to talk about the thing because I've figured some things out or they've said something and then we can address it. And I can say, last time I was here, this conversation happened and I didn't really know what to say at the time, but I mean, now that we're talking about this, it seems appropriate to bring it up. So I can maybe address it down the road, and I can and will. There are lots of times where someone who has very strong feelings in our political environment right now on the right or on the left, where they'll say something and they'll express it in terms that I don't know how to answer because I can't interpret what they really meant. Because here's the thing, I know maybe this is something I've noticed and maybe I'm wrong about it, but I don't think I am. And maybe other people haven't noticed, I don't know. But there's a lot of people feel more comfortable today saying outlandish things when they don't like really mean it, right? When they don't really mean that. And I don't want to take them seriously when they're just blowing off steam. I don't want to overreact to what they're saying.
But that means that you eternally maintain the relationship with this person and never learn the truth.
And that could happen.
If they actually feel that way. See, and this is what you are describing is awesome. And I am envious.
Is it?
Yes, because, okay. And full disclosure, as per usual, this is my opinion. I don't know what I'm talking about at all. That being said, what you are describing does not work for me or Azure Talon, because in the circumstance you describe, I think it's mostly because no one in the world has lower self-esteem than you. Might be what it is here. Because when somebody says something outlandish/damaging or whatever, you're like, I don't know what's going on here. I don't want to mess with it. I don't have all the facts. I should just stay silent. It might be me. I don't know. And again, the usual, if you don't have a reason to. For me, and again, I'm just going to state unequivocally for Azure Talon, people who I care about, who I'm close to, whatever, express an opinion that I find so disconcerting and bothersome and repulsive at times that regardless of what might be going on, as much as it would be really great to be like, I don't know why they're coming from that point. I don't know if they're being real serious. I don't know. As nice as it would be to not judge them, I absolutely fucking judge them. When they say that, it colors my view of them sort of forever. Some, if it's a one-off, maybe not. But in general, if you've got views that I am just like vehemently opposed to, or I think are harmful or whatever, I don't look at you the same as a person, and I don't, it makes me angry at you and unhappy at you and not like you. I keep saying you specifically. I do want you to know I'm talking in the general sense. All of this applies to you specifically, but in this circumstance, okay. I am talking in the general sense. Because that's the thing. Yes, in a perfect world, it's like, you don't try not to judge them, live and let live, because you don't know what's going on. And that is, in my opinion, the right answer. But I find it just, I mean, on a very base psychological level, literally impossible for me to do that. And I think that is probably true for a lot of people. Definitely Azure Talon. He's a judgmental motherfucker.
Well, I mean, I probably do that because that's what I would want someone to do for me, because I'm going to say outlandish things sometimes that I don't, that later I'm going to go, gosh, that was ridiculous. You know, I want someone to give me the benefit of the doubt or
sorry. Linguistically, you put it in an ambiguous spot. So I was genuinely hearing, well, I probably also judge people because deep down, I really want people to judge me when I speak. You meant the thing that you actually do of not being judgmental.
Yeah. Yes, the thing you were saying is if I, and withholding judgment from people, it's really only because that's what I would want them to do for me in a similar, what seems like a similar circumstance. I don't think of myself as being immune really to anything. I don't really think, like people, part of this has to do with the whole background, my educational and training background. I mean, one of the things Carl Couch used to, in his classes, he would show that that experiment where people had to shock somebody. You know the experiment I'm talking about.
I think we've talked about it a few times on this podcast, actually.
Yeah, it's an experiment where people would come in and they would have to ask a person questions. If they got them wrong, they had to shock them. Now, the person getting shocked wasn't really really being shocked. But the experiment was to see how much shock would the subject give this person.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was particularly trying to see how people would respond to an authority figure, because the person instructing them had a white coat on, you know, and they said, well, this is important for the experiment to work. So it was about authority. And you know, Carl would always introduce this subject in his classes. And he would make the point that if you believe that that had you lived, if you were a contemporary of other Germans during the rise of Nazism, that you definitely wouldn't have been a Nazi. You would have been one of those people against Nazism. Well, you don't really know that's true. A kind of a there before the grace of God go I kind of thing. That's a very deeply held belief of mine, which is, you know, if I'm not a horrible person, it's not because I'm better than that horrible person. It's because I have been spared maybe some of the experiences that person has had that brought them to where they're at. So it's really hard for me to judge them as anything, because they're before the grace of God. Why? So
yeah. And that is a tremendous gift. You should appreciate more, because literally what you were talking about is the thing that, yeah, I'll just say it. Literally every other human who has ever existed struggles with constantly. We all know that's what you should do, but that's not what happens. They say the thing, and I'm like, you're just a fucker. And if you said to me, Tony, are they? Do you know that they're a fucker because they said that? Stop and think, really. I'd be like, no, because I don't know why they said that or what. There's a lot of context.
Right, but I mean, I'm not judging other people.
That's not what happens.
Other people can think whatever they like. I'm not saying people have to do it the way I do.
No, but that's it right there. Other people can think whatever they like. No, it's not true. You think the right thing or you think the wrong thing. No, I think what I'm basically saying is you, whether through chance or skill or talent or brain damage, have an ability that a lot of us don't, which, and you should consider it fortunate, means you basically haven't been in the situation as your talent is talking about. I assumed you had, because I know specific things that have happened and conversations you have had with specific people. And if I had been on the other side of the, if I had been where you are, I absolutely would have had this. I would have been like, what the fuck? How can I even associate with this person anymore? But you have just this giant other cheek that you turn all the time.
Oh, come on. You're, that's a good title for the podcast. Giant other cheek.
Giant other cheek. I think you're right. I think that's good. So we are out of time. I do want to try and give this some serious thought, because obviously William's answer is the ideal one, but obviously none of us are capable of doing that. Except William. And obviously my hypothetical answer, I don't think is a good one either, which is just like, fucking cut him off, get him out of your life. But here's what I will say, and I do believe this is good advice. Particularly as an adult, unless there is legal responsibility or you are trapped in a relationship beyond your control, i.e. I have to work with this person very closely, or this is the parent of my kid's best friend, so I'm stuck with that. Other than situations that are genuinely pretty much beyond your control, or ones in which you have a legal responsibility, no relationship, every relationship is optional. And I think as we get older, we should work all of us harder on looking at every relationship in our lives and saying, what do I get out of this? What does this cost me? Is this a relationship I want to continue? And on a certain level, we should be asking that every day with every person we have a relationship with. I know that's a little extreme to do, because sometimes I don't remember to think, do I still want to be married to my wife? But luckily, so far, it turns out I do. But I mean, even to that degree, I think you have to evaluate, you know, do I want to be with my spouse? Is this, because there are some relationships that essentially are habits or a feeling of obligation that I don't think is real in a lot of cases, but that you feel that and you need to decide, because it is a lot of time and energy that goes into every relationship, and both your time and your energy are finite. And if you can say, you know what, despite this particular insanity, this person is awesome. I love them. I could never get rid of them. I have a relationship right now that I've been discussing with my therapist that I'm like, when I sit down and think about it, I do not know why I am friends with this person. But when I consider the possibility of no longer being friends with them, I hate it. And so that's one I'm still struggling with. But if you're in that situation where I'm like, I love this person, I could not see myself getting rid of this relationship, I need this relationship, then you got to learn to just sort of work around those things. And maybe it's literally saying, you know what, we disagree on this. It makes me uncomfortable, but I don't want to lose you as a friend, wife, bottom, whatever. Can we just agree this topic? Maybe we won't talk about it. And if they can't handle that, then fuck them.
I concur. That's good advice, because life is short, and you don't just owe it to yourself, but really to them. If you don't want it, if it doesn't do anything for you, if it's just like an obligation or something like that, outside of the exceptions that you mentioned, where they're a coworker and you can't really.
There are times where basically I can't not. And as a not parent, I want to say, I know people who are like, my kid loves this other kid. Their parents suck eggs.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like, I'm sorry, you can't have that best friend anymore because their parents are so fucking monster. Unless there's danger to the child or whatever.
Sure. So, life is short, and it doesn't do them any good or you. I mean, it's not just about you. You're not doing them any favors either. So just, go do something else. Go be with someone else. It's like you said, relationships are optional. And we never
pick them up front. You always stumble into relationships your whole life. I didn't sit down one day and are like, we're going to be friends. No, we fucking worked at the same place and you became my boss. And then we chatted more and we grew a friendship. But it did not start with either of us deciding this is going to be a friendship. And it never does. It mostly builds out of the shit you have when you're a kid, when you don't get to decide. Like, you don't get to cut your family off when you're still living in their house. I mean, a lot of teenagers try, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't work. And then, your job, your school, all of these things. I had so many great friends at work, and they were absolutely work friends, and they're gone now. I mean, I'm a broken record on this one. I talk about this a lot, but I had to pick, because I'm like, I don't, without seeing them every day because we're forced to and paid to, these relationships are hard to maintain. Mm. I need to decide which ones are worth it.
But I'm glad you mentioned the possibility that if it's a person that you know that you get a lot of from, even in spite of this difficulty, that there probably is a way for you to have that conversation you talked about and say, maybe we just shouldn't talk about this thing. I mean, I think that's something people can usually come to an agreement about.
I think so. My experience with it has always been shitty, because what happens is I will say, hey, I like you, you like me, I love you, whatever it is. We're in this cell together for the next 3 to 5 years, whatever. I don't want to get rid of this relationship. I want to maintain this relationship. I want you in my life. This thing really bugs me. This thing really bothers me when you say things and stuff like that. You are entitled to your opinion. How about we don't talk about that? And they will say, that's okay, that's fair. And then the next time I see them, they'll say it again, immediately followed by, oops, not supposed to talk about that, teehee. And then I punch them in the face, and that's how I ended up in jail with the other person. And again, I have this reaction. I'm like, if that's your response, fuck you, you're gone. That in and of itself is another insanity to add to whatever it was already. It's like, also, you won't fucking respect the boundaries that I have established.
Yeah.
That's another knock against you. But also, most of the time when that has come up, it has come up in that category of relationships I can't get out of.
Mm.
AKA older family members. But, I just, that deal, I have seen that so much firsthand and secondhand, of the whole, I'm not supposed to talk about that after I literally just did, or just oblique, well, we wouldn't want to bring up such and such. Like, you did just now.
That's too bad.
Yeah, so you got to watch out for that. But no, if you have decided that on all counts the balance is that the relationship is something you want to maintain, then you just need to find a way of setting a boundary, saying this part of both of our brains and lives is such in such violent conflict that we have to have it not be part of our relationship.
I mean, I've known a lot of families that they get together, they have a great time, but they have a maybe an unspoken agreement not to talk about certain things.
Yeah.
And it doesn't bother their get together. They have a wonderful time.
No,
but they just know they won't if they talk about this thing. So they don't. I mean, and that's good. I mean,
boundaries are crazy important and something that we're all crazy bad at.
Everybody
I know who's in therapy right now, and I know a lot of people in therapy, are all mostly talking about boundaries these days. I am trying to set some in a variety of relationships in my life right now because of things that I have just assumed, yeah, that's part of it. And then I'm like, that doesn't have to be part of it. And it kind of sucks that it's part of it.
Yeah.
Let's not have it be part of it.
Yeah, let's do something about that. Right.
And it's difficult because when you say we're in conflict on this, can we just not have this be part of our relationship? What a lot of people hear is, you're insane in this specific way, and it pisses me off on the regular. So the only way I can stand to be around you is if we both agree we're never going to discuss this stupid thing you believe.
Well,
that's what people hear.
But even if I heard that, I would still go, you're right, I won't talk about that, because I would just say, yeah, I'm crazy, I'm stupid.
Because the magic of William. I don't think you appreciate the benefits of this outlook or how unusual this outlook is. Well, I shouldn't say the outlook, your ability to do it. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with you that that is the best way to do it. The rest of us just can't fucking do that.
Well, I'm not saying it's the best way. It's just not what I do.
No, I think it is. I think it's a great way. I genuinely wish I could approach relationships the way you do in that particular context. Whole bunch of other shit you do, I don't need it. But that particular one, if I could genuinely be non-judgmental and sort of, but as soon there are certain things people say it or I see the hat or whatever, then I'm like no, fuck that person. Yes, I know I've known them for 20 years and I love them like a son, but fuck that person, because that is so fucked up that you believe that. So fucked up that you would say that. I'm mad at you. And every time I see you now, I'm going to remember that, and I'm still going to be mad at you. And especially if you're somebody who brings it up a lot. Because you have told me about conversations you have had with people who are close to you who I don't know and told me what they said. And I'm like, fuck that person. Like, wow. I'm mad at people vicariously who have said crazy. Like, I cannot. And I know there's all the thing. And it's road rage all over again. Somebody cuts you off and you're like, fuck, why doesn't that person know how to drive? Other times you cut somebody off and there was a good reason for it, at least in your head. Like, I didn't mean to or whatever. And it's a thing. And for some reason, weird example, because I am actually pretty good at not judging when driving. It's a thing. It's because one time I read this very concept was being expressed through an example of driving and road rage. And for some reason, I really took it to heart. So in that specific thing, I'm actually really good at it now. But everything else, and honestly, even then I have time, like, oh, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Maybe that's because you actually have experiences of driving badly.
That's,
you don't have experiences of accidentally wearing a Trump.
That is a super good point. Except we have talked a lot that I, in my adolescence and young adulthood, had some very fucked up views about sex and romance and relationships.
Yeah, you have talked about that. Yeah.
And I mean, it was back in the day where we hadn't codified them as much, but I'm like 16-year-old me would absolutely be on the fucking red pill subreddits and shit like that. Absolutely. And yet, if I hear somebody express that opinion now that I know I had back then, I fucking, God damn it, get out of my existence. Leave
you
the
think
planet.
Do you think it's because you understand it?
No.
You don't
they have
think
plenty, it... they have plenty of opinions that I never have had that I'm also like, fuck you, get off my planet. cultivate a life where I don't have to deal much with people who believe something contrary to something I hold very strongly. I do not think this is a wise or healthy way to live in a society. I also think at this point, it is the only way my mental health can hold together. And so I think of it as a bit of a vice. It's akin to the fact that, you know, ideally I shouldn't be drinking massive quantities of caffeine every day. That is not the best way to live, but I do it because that's the only thing that holds my shit together.
I see what you're saying.
And it's not a good place to be in. And it also, the longer you live like that, the less you are able to live outside of that. And it also is very key to being judgmental, because the more I live like that, the more I both forget and otherify people who are outside of that bubble. So not only the more do I not think, oh wait, there's people who disagree with me on this, but also when I do think of it, I'm like, yeah, but they're weirdos who are out in the world somewhere, not living, not they're not in my world. They're in a different shitty world called real America, but whatever. And it's not good. It's in the same way that right now I'm on a total news blackout, and it's done wonders for my stress level, but it's not wise to not know what's going on at all ever. Like,
yeah.
I have a security blanket in that I have people close to me who do pay attention, and they'll tell me when it's big shit they think I should know.
Sure.
But it's not a wise way to live, but it also has, I'm so much less freaked out and tense and angry all the time because of that. So it's a hard one, but the real answer here, as it's known, is it depends on you and it depends on the person that you know. But these are all things to consider. Ideally, do what William does, but realistically, I bet you can't, because I sure as hell can't. So think about the relationship and think about what you need to do.
Yeah, I thought the advice you gave was very, very good. Very sound.
I mean, I gave like three different mutually conflicting advices in this whole spiel, but
I'm sure the listener knows which one I mean.
Really? Azure Talent, you think?
Yeah, if he's paying any attention.
So I'm going to get to more questions today, but we really got, this was a meaty one here. This was a...
Hey, I want to say, the gift that Mick got Abby was a Funko Pop of Red from the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. And she loves it. She thinks it's really, really cool. Thanks for that, Meg.
I should dig out all my Funkos and put them somewhere. All the cool stuff that decorated my cubicles at work are still in a box somewhere that I haven't put out. There's some good stuff there.
I should have brought it in so I could show it to everybody, because it's very cute. I mean, it's from the ride. Like, if you know, like if you haven't been on the ride, especially recently, because they updated this character, because in the original ride, there was this red-haired woman who was like being auctioned off.
They were selling brides.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And they changed it. And I forget entirely how they changed it. It's not problematic now. It's a little bit problematic in the other direction, because all I can remember specifically is there were several instances of a pirate chasing a woman in a circle. And a lot of them, they have now switched. So the woman is chasing that same pirate around the circle instead. And I'm like, I think that's better in some, the message in general is less disconcerting. But
in this case,
yeah, she was like on the auction block. And now I think she's still on there, but like she's very proud.
No, she's not. She's just a pirate now.
She's just a pirate now? Okay.
Yeah, she was. There was another woman actually on the block who was heavyset woman. And the joke was the pirates didn't want to bid on her. They wanted to bid on this hot redhead that was standing off to the side. And the hot redhead looked like she was enjoying the attention. And then later you see a picture of that redhead, and now she's joined the crew as a pirate. So problematic on all kinds of levels. Now, when you're introduced to this person, first of all, she has a name. It's just Red with two D's at the end. And she's just a pirate. She's just part of the crew. And they're auctioning off hens or something. And she's trying to get the auctioneer to skip the hens and start having people bid on the rum. And she's just a pirate. That's all. So, I mean, there's not a lot to it now, but they've got rid of the, you know, trafficking angle.
This is another one, though. If I remembered the character well enough, I think I would still have too much in my brain remembering the previous version and be like, eh.
But I mean,
glad it works for her.
Oh yeah, and the little toy itself is just, it is kind of cute. I'm not much of a Funko person, but it's pretty neat. So Nick did a good job.
Now I'm picturing a Funko of one of the captured women who's going to be auctioned off. Like, because there were some that were like really lamenting or whatever. Just a little Funko of being like, "Why me? No!"
And the whole thing was, I can't believe it. What surprises me isn't
that a whole set of problematic Funkos.
It doesn't surprise me that Disney had something like that in their ride. It surprises me how long it stayed there. Like, you know, you think it wouldn't take long for them to go, maybe we shouldn't do this. But nope, it was like that for a long time.
No, it's very seldom will companies proactively change shit like that. Because as I've said many, many times, and I still very strongly believe this, Disney as a company, Amazon as a company, Google as a company have zero sense of morality and ethics.
Sure, yeah.
They are based entirely on how much trouble they will get into and how much it will hurt its market share. So they could literally have a character in blackface on Pirates of the Caribbean. And if somehow no one ever complained about it, it would never get changed unless they were pretty sure somebody was gonna real soon.
Well, and that complaint was going to affect their bottom line. How much money they were going to make.
And that's why when they fucking stood with John Boyega, I was like, no, you don't. you're tweeting that to get the points.
Yep.
But true. Honestly, if you thought your market was going in the other direction, you'd go in the other.
That's right. So that is right.
Get fucked.
I think you're completely right about that.
Also, I think when it comes to any sort of merchandising, I think literally if you're, they don't call them employees, if you're a cast member of Disney,
right?
I think literally any level of cast member can suggest making a Funko Pop out of any character. And that's like their first foray into merch. They're like, fine, yeah, let's make a Funko Pop, see if anybody buys it. If they do, maybe we'll make a movie. I don't know, but sure, whatever.
Well, there are rumors that they're going to make another Pirates movie and Red is going to be in it. There are rumors of that.
Played by Johnny Depp.
What's the gal's name?
He's going to dye his hair.
She's in Jumanji and she was...
Oh, Karen Gillan.
Yeah, they think she's going to...
Oh, fuck yeah, that would be great. Don't get me wrong. I 100% don't want another Pirates movie and didn't see the last two, maybe three. I don't know. But Karen Gillan would make a kick-ass pirate.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. You're probably right.
I'd be into that. All right, let's get out of here. I got
Sorry.
Instant pot jambalaya to make tonight.
I've got a paper to write.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost already 3:30 almost.
If it gets too late, take some no-dos or Vivarin, which both fucking still exist in your local pharmacy.
You know that my taking that in my first quarter of my freshman year in college is what made me so that I couldn't drink caffeine anymore.
Well, you know that, like, I think people fucking died and shit. I think they did have to, like, adjust things. Like, it's bad.
Yeah.
And I assumed they didn't exist anymore. Like at least those brands. Like I know at truck stops they still have shit, but no. When I was sitting, I think it was to get one of my vaccination shots. I'm sitting there and I look at the shelf and on the bottom, literally still no-dos and Vivarin. I was like, those are still legal.
Yeah, I took one of those and I got very sick. And then every time after that, if I drank a soda with caffeine in it, I get sick. Never had caffeine since.
I'm gonna sneak it into something. I'm gonna get you when you least suspect it.
We'll see.
All right. Everybody write in themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com. See, we get great conversation out of seemingly terrible questions mostly sent by Eschaton. So imagine what you can do.
Yeah, imagine.
And listen again next week and stay warm, everybody. And I'm going to, when I hit this button, they tell me it's going to give an electrical shock to William. I hope you are ready and push.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.